Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the day. The days are easy. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been looking at a lot of weird stuff that don't look good in the church. We looked at witchcraft. We looked at a religious spirit this week. We looked at secular music. And today I want to finish up by looking at progressive Christianity. There's something called progressive Christianity that is taking the church today by storm. So the question is, what is progressive Christianity? Well, I'm glad you asked. So get close to your radio and we'll find out what progressive Christianity is all about. Get close to your radio and listen.
Had a good week. Today we're going to take a cursory glance at progressive Christianity. So let's delve in. Hello everyone. If you're here for the first time, welcome to my channel. I'm Alan. Before I begin, I just want to point out that a lot of the information and analysis in this video is courtesy of my seminary professor, Dr. Michael Kruger, as well as Elisa Childers. So I am indebted to them. In 1923, J. Gresham Machen wrote his classic, Christianity and Liberalism. Machen was writing in response to the rise of liberalism within Christian denominations. In this book, he demonstrated that liberal Christianity was not simply a variant version of the Christian faith or a different denominational perspective, but was in fact an entirely different religion altogether. Well, liberals never left us. Names and titles may change, but generally speaking, liberal theology does not. Some of you may recall the emergent church movement of the late 90s and early 2000s. This was around the time that Rob Bell wrote his popular book, Love Wins. Mr. Bell did an interview on Oprah, and he called the Bible a 2,000-year-old letter. At the time, there was a united conservative evangelical response to him and the emergent church movement which he was a part of. The capstone was probably John Piper's famous line, "Bye-bye, Rob Bell." And you may have thought, well, that was the end of the emergent movement. Well, no. They never really left us. Now they're known as a new kind of Christianity, or more popularly, progressive Christianity. So, what is progressive Christianity? Well, that's a good question. There is no formal creed, confession, or statement of faith which clearly defines progressive Christianity. You may find progressives who reject essential core Christian doctrines like the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection, and then you may find progressives who believe in these doctrines. Generally speaking, progressives have a very low view of Scripture. Now, of course, they would argue that they have a very high view of Scripture. But from a historical standpoint, although Christians have disagreed about many things, one thing which has united us is our belief that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now be careful, because a progressive may say to you, well, I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God too. In fact, the last book that a popular progressive writer, the late Rachel Held Evans, wrote was titled Inspired. But when they say that the Bible is inspired, they mean something very different from what conservative evangelicals mean. Many progressives believe that the Bible is inspired in the same way that a great poem is inspired or that a good sermon is inspired. So if you're in dialogue with a progressive, then you need to clearly define what you mean when you say that you believe that the Bible is inspired. Let them know that you believe in the historic Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura, namely, that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the sole infallible rule of faith, life, and practice for the Church of Jesus Christ. Progressives will often refer to that which is written in Scripture as the experiences of our spiritual ancestors. It would not be uncommon to hear a progressive say, "We need to follow the movement of the Spirit, and the movement of the Spirit will cause us to believe and think differently from what the biblical writers believed and thought." For instance, one popular progressive writer, Brian McLaren, has written, "Scripture faithfully reveals the evolution of our ancestors' best attempts to communicate their successive best understandings of God. As human capacity grows to conceive of a higher and wiser view of God, each new vision is faithfully preserved in Scripture, like fossils in layers of sediment." One phrase you'll often hear progressives use is "reformed and reforming." That's how the term "progressive" in their name comes into play. The Old Testament writers had their experience of God, and that progressed with the New Testament writers and their experience of God. And throughout church history, our experience of God continues to progress. Some may argue that there was progress in the 19th century with the abolitionist movement, and there was progress in the 20th century with the civil rights movement. And today, there is almost always the thinking that progress right now means supporting feminism, gay theology, and critical race theory. In terms of the text of sacred scripture, there is, generally speaking, a strong attack upon the reliability of the New Testament manuscript tradition. There is also an attack upon whether or not the biblical writers were consistent in their theology with one another. So, what do progressives believe about God? Again, there is not universal agreement. Some of them are Trinitarian, some of them are not. UCC Bethel, which identifies itself as a progressive church, indicates in its statement of faith that it is Trinitarian. But being Trinitarian, according to progressives, is not definitional to the Christian faith. Progressives can disagree about this. One attribute of God which many progressives have a strong aversion to is His holiness. If you saw the second American gospel film, Christ Crucified, the progressives in that documentary denied the historical Christian doctrine of penal substitutionary atonement. The term cosmic child abuse is very popular in progressive circles. There tends to be a humanizing of God. Progressives who had abusive or uncaring fathers tend to see Jesus' death on the cross in order to satisfy divine justice as God's abuse of His Son. You may be wondering, what do they do with the cross then? Well, different progressives do different things with it. Some emphasize Christus Victor, Christ's victory over the powers, which again has partial truth to it, but is not the full meaning of the cross. Others will say that the cross was simply God allowing a bloodthirsty mob to have their way. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? Well, again, you'll have progressives who hold to the historical doctrines of the Christian faith, such as the deity and humanity of Christ, His life, death, burial, and resurrection. And then there'll be others who deny those things. John Pavlovitz, who is a leading progressive author, has said that there are no sacred cows, and all doctrines are open to redefinition. What about the gospel? Well, the progressive gospel is primarily about social justice and reaching out to the outcast. It's completely works-oriented. There is an emphasis on deeds over creeds. Again, there's a half-truth here, and I think that's what makes progressive Christianity so dangerous, all of the half-truths. In progressive circles, it's very common to hear about the hero's journey. They like to say, "We're just asking questions. Why are you conservative evangelicals so afraid of questions?" To which Elisa Childers has cleverly responded, "Why are progressives so afraid of answers?" The truth is that progressive questions are really loaded and are actually answers in the disguise of questions. Progressives are very selective in their uncertainty. They're fairly certain that they support the LGBTQ community, feminism, and social justice. There's only uncertainty when it comes to things like the reliability of the Bible and the essential core doctrines of the Christian faith. And their entire concept of uncertainty is incoherent and logically inconsistent. If a progressive says, "Well, I'm uncertain," good philosophers will immediately respond by asking, "Well, are you certain that you're uncertain?" Progressives also like to flash their evangelical street creds. "I was once an evangelical just like you until fill in the story. I met a gay friend who changed my mind on the subject of same-sex unions. I read a book by Bart Ehrman in college, and it made me change my mind on the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts. I studied the Neo-Darwinian process of micromutation and made me question Genesis. And so began my deconstruction process, which is a very popular phrase in progressive circles. The term ex-evangelical is also used quite a bit. And here's an important fact to consider, which Elisa pointed out, and which I found absolutely fascinating. Every single one of their leading scholars, writers, and thinkers is a former evangelical. You will not find a single leading progressive who is a convert from Buddhism or Islam or another religion to progressive Christianity. In summation, I end where I began with Dr. J. Gershom Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism. Progressive Christianity as a whole is a separate and distinct religion from historical, authentic, and true Christianity. Generally speaking, there is a denial of the Christian doctrine of penal substitutionary atonement. This runs in contradiction to 1 Corinthians 15, in which Paul describes that doctrine as being of first importance. There is also an affirmation of same-sex relationships, which runs contrary to Paul's teaching in both Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6. And since there's an affirmation of same-sex unions, which requires a redefinition of sin, in which a sin, which the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for and died on the cross for, is no longer considered a sin at all, but a gift of God which we need to celebrate, the progressive gospel falls under the banner of a false gospel, which Paul anathematizes in Galatians 1. So it should come as little surprise that within progressive circles there is either a strong anti-Paulism, or b, a reinterpretation of Paul, which aligns with feminism, gay theology, and critical race theory. Let me close with some thoughts which my friend Andreas made when we were discussing the subject of progressive Christianity. He pointed out that progressives seem to assume an evolutionary worldview in their thinking, which is true. You'll be hard-pressed to find a single progressive who's a creationist. But he argued that evolutionary theory might be one reason why they believe that human beings simply attributed their own evolutionary stage to God. It got more advanced over time. For them, God is basically the God of cultural conditioning of different people groups at different periods in time. In other words, God is made in the image of man. Andreas also posed a very good question. At what point in the progressive mind do we actually run into a regress? There seems to be no limit. Would progressives even question it when the church looks completely like the world? Christians do not assimilate with the values of the world, but progressives turn this teaching on its head. Sanctification in their minds seems to be conforming to the image of man, whereas in the Christian worldview, we are to conform ourselves to the image of Christ. And so that, as well as the rest of the content which I mentioned in this video, makes progressive Christianity a dangerous and false heretical movement, which solid Bible-believing Christians need to be wary of. Once again, I would like to thank Elisa Childers and my seminary professor, Dr. Michael Kruger, for the work that they have done on the subject of progressive Christianity. If you want to...
All right. That's it. Progressive Christianity. And that was a gentleman telling us what progressive Christianity is all about. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long. We're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.